This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
I don't mean to be too crass, but welcome to the HeadGum Podcast, fuckers.
Well, then you did it there.
Okay.
You went over the line.
You also didn't have to say fuckers. The joke was complete. He said, I don't mean to be too crass, but welcome to the HeadGum Podcast. And then you took a beat. You seemingly really wanted to be crass.
No, I didn't want to go blue, but you kind of forced me to.
No, I did not. I just didn't say anything. I was waiting for you to finish, and then you said fuckers after a second of silence.
The silence made me feel that I needed to perpetrate violence.
Yikes.
Fine. Start the fucking show. Now you have
do
me like mad.
Do unto you what you would do in a zoo.
Nice.
Matt Damon bought a zoo. All right, I just saw this movie. It's unbelievable.
Why?
What do you mean? Like, imagine if your parents fucking bought a zoo.
Don't say the movie We Bought a Zoo is unbelievable. It came out like a decade ago.
It was unbelievable, dude. It was more than unbelievable. It was actually beyond, I couldn't suspend my disbelief.
It's probably the most believable Matt Damon movie ever, right? Like, he's played like a spy with some sort of innate ability. He's gone to Mars a few times. And then you're saying the most unbelievable.
Also, this movie was based on a memoir. So,
it's incredibly
believable.
Or was
it based on the terroir? As in, the land kind of informed the taste of the zoo.
What Marika said was right. It was based on a memoir.
But what a good segue into what I would like to hear, Marika. Sorry, we'll cut that out. But just let's, for the record, say that Amir just sneezed.
Yeah,
I was. When was the last time you got? Sorry, when was the last time you got tested?
I haven't gotten tested. I'm better than tested. I'm congested. So I have an allergy to the pollen in the air. But don't worry about me with regards to coronavirus. I either have it or I don't, but it can't transmit to you across this Zoom conversation we're
having. Really? Because I did test positive, and all I've done is these Zoom calls and also, like, going to restaurants and bars and nightclubs.
And you flew across the country.
And I flew I did fly across the country. But I tested negative.
Congrats.
Now my concern is coming back, you know what I mean? Because LA County's, what is it, 1% of the entire world?
Yeah, they say there's 10 million reported cases, and LA has 100,000 of them.
So when should I come back?
Probably never, but maybe like in a few years after this whole thing is either subsided or enough people have died and gained herd immunity that you don't have to worry about catching the virus.
Okay, and you're only saying that because of the virus? It's not because of any like personal beef you have with
me? What was the question you had? You said that was a good segue to the Matt Damon thing. And then
yeah.
I sneezed, and it created this weird tangent for the last...
Believe it or not, this show is not scripted. This show is not scripted, but that was a perfect, tight, tight cold open.
No, it wasn't.
Welcome to the HeadGum Podcast.
No way. You cannot start it this late in the game.
Marika, you texted me today to talk about... Just say what you texted me.
I asked, do you ever think about the fact that... the pop punk band All Time Low sells wine now. Just as a conversation starter, I figured you of all people would probably understand what that means as a person that likes to, at the very least, talk about wine and also pop punk music.
Would you say that that's All Time Low's All Time Low?
Nice.
Really?
It's not even their own wine. They just work at a liquor store, right?
Well, tell yeah. Tell Amir what the name of the wine is called.
The website is
All Time all-time Pinot.
Oh, that would have been good.
That's almost better. The website is everythingiswine.alltimelow.com in case you wanted to buy some.
Do they have a song or an album called Everything Is Fine?
Not one that I know.
Got it.
I think it was. Didn't you say it was a quarantine thing? Like that the world is going to shambles and they're saying everything is wine. Everything is wine.
I don't think this started pre-quarantine, the selling wine. So I'm not sure. But they're selling a Summer Days Rosé right now, if anyone's interested. Yeah. That's my big news of the day, I guess.
Why are you bummed, Jeff? Why are you sad to hear that? That was right up your alley.
You goaded me into talking about it. It was kind of an interesting conversation starter.
Yeah, you said, can you read the text? Marika did, and now you're like,
I'm not sad, and I'm not bummed. I'm just kind of letting you guys have the floor.
I said my piece.
We have the floor. As a host, it's your job to like move the conversation along. You're letting everything
die. The energy was good when a few seconds ago. I don't know what changed.
It was that we saw your sad little face.
What changed was you.
Little? Really?
Well,
I have lost 15 pounds.
Since when?
Birth. As in, I was reborn when this whole thing kind of started, Blumenfeld. How do you like that?
I hate that. This has
a
been
renaissance.
A low point. Since this generation's collective depression, and you're having a renaissance, a glow up during it.
I'm gonna be a 9 by the time this is over, and everything is fine / wine. This episode is sponsored by Everything Is Wine.
God, I would love to be sponsored by All Time Low's wine.
This is a genuine question for you guys. No bits for this. Truly, no bits for this question.
Okay.
What in life are you most proud of?
Amir, you go first.
Wow.
I mean, you own a company, so that's a start.
Headgum is fine. Headgum is wine, actually. But what I'm truly the most proud of is probably I did a somewhat viral TikTok recently. And for me to wake up and see 2,000 likes under that fucking clip really meant the world to me. And I've never been prouder of, well, myself, quite frankly. It's brought me such joy to have those likes that I feel like I've made friends in the form of followers that will never leave me. And that probably means more to me than any company or real life friendship that I've made along the way. I fancy myself a viral epidemiologist of sorts. So that's cool
not
to own
the right
that.
Title.
What's that?
That's not
I wasn't
the right
done.
Title. All right.
And that's just, that's awesome to have.
All right. You were done?
I was still talking about how that's awesome to have.
So the thing you're most proud of is that's not viral, by the way. On TikTok, getting 2,000 likes is nothing.
All right, so the fucking headgum.
Fucking
let me take
headgum?
That again, then.
Take it again. I'll edit it out.
I once had a tweet so good, 1,000 people chose to share it.
That's also not that many, by Twitter standards.
Then fucking headgum again. Let me just take it from the top, the network. Headgum. Right. What's Marika's answer?
Do you guys know the show Hamilton?
The movie on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What?
So
it's based on a true story of yours or something?
Almost 5 years ago, performed in a Ham for Ham in front of the Richard Rodgers Theater. In a very out of character move for myself.
Yeah.
And I'm proud that I did that.
What do you mean by Ham for Ham?
Can you school this fucker, please?
Explain it to me like I'm
9.
Smart.
Like you're smart.
Explain it to me like I'm wine.
When Hamilton was doing an in-person lottery in front of the theater every day, Lin-Manuel Miranda started doing live shows before the lottery was drawn as a fun thing to do, and he'd have like people from the show perform things or people from other Broadway shows perform things, and one day he tweeted, does anyone know the lyrics to Guns and Ships that could do something, and I responded, and then he DM'd me, like, come to the theater. Jeff is pissed right now, and I don't know why.
No, I'm listening.
Your okay. listening face is, like, anger.
Yeah.
That's just how especially bad I do when I'm listening. Host.
Your head is
in
your hands.
No, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I was listening. That's just my listening face. Go on.
Yeah, and I performed a rap live in front of thousands, and I won a contest. So you're actively, you're mocking me silently.
I didn't say anything. Amir, did I say anything?
No, but that was sort of the problem. You weren't, like, encouraging. You're supposed to, like, hear that and sort of support it implicitly, emotionally, and with your
words.
And
I mean,
and
this is being recorded video-wise, so people can see your reaction. That was you silently mouthing, making fun of me.
Okay, I mean, this is like, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells here. I feel like I can't do anything.
I don't know, man.
Continue. I was enjoying the story.
I was trying to share something cool that I've done.
No, share it. You guys are the one you're interrupting yourself. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're stopping the story. I was listening.
All right. I mean, I'm done now. I'm proud of doing that thing.
Do you have a video?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Do you still know the words?
Yeah. I don't want to do it.
I mean, should we?
That was my one-time performance.
One time. I'll splice the audio in right here.
It's gonna be great. All right, here we go. Ready? Are you
ready? Sure.
Everyone give it up for America's favorite fucking Frenchman.
Lafayette! I'm making this horse butter rain to make a red coat sweater with blood stains.
Lafayette!
I'm never gonna stop until I make him drop a bone and scatter the remains out.
Lafayette!
Watch me engage and I'm escaping, I'm enraging him.
Lafayette!
I have friends for more fun.
Lafayette!
I'm back with more guns.
And ships. Woo! And so the balance shifts. We rendezvous with Rochambeau, consolidate their gifts.
We can end this war at Yorktown, cut them off at sea.
But
for this to succeed, there's someone else we need.
Let's go! Hamilton!
He knows what to do when the French ingenuity is doing to French or me.
Hamilton!
You're gonna have to use him eventually. What's he gonna do on the bench or me?
Hamilton!
Has more resilience or matches my practical tactical brilliance.
Hamilton! Hamilton!
Right-hand man back.
He's the right-hand man back.
Onto the letter, but the sooner the better to get to
write. I'll tweet it out on Friday.
Wow. Huge.
Marika, when's your birthday?
October 22nd.
What if we did a roast of Marika on her birthday as the HeadGum podcast? So it'd be like, a joke could be like...
yeah, you don't know how we know what a roast is. Don't,
it could be
your pitch
like,
was already denied, so don't try to like sneak in
fucking...
a little roast right now. If anything, we should roast you. It seems like you were just sitting on an insult for Marika and you wanted to pitch it along with this
thing. Let's have a moment
thing.
Of silence.
No, you don't have to say anything. We already don't want to do the roast of Marika. You don't have to
I kind of do now, though.
All right, fine. Let's hear this one singer.
All right. Let's have one moment of silence for all those who've fallen. Marika, do you want to tell a joke?
Wait, sorry.
That's the roast? That's the insult?
I don't know. It doesn't make... It only applies if someone's like a comedian or like has a stand-up, a tight five. But Marika has a tight nine and it's not stand-up. It's singing ham for ham. So you really kind of back me into a corner here, Marika.
What the hell are you talking about?
What the hell was I supposed to do? You put me on the spot. But guess who fucking assembles this shit, motherfuckers?
You said, I want to do a roast of Marika, for example, one insult could be, and then you fucked it up, and then you said, Marika put you on the spot? You're already bombing at a thing you suggested.
Don't put words in my mouth. That's the one thing I won't stand for on this show, all right? I said we should do the roast, but that's supposed to be all of us versus Marika, where we back her into a corner, not me.
Well, I thought that roasts are like... Everyone gets a chance to do their sort of tight five on a comedian that can't rebut in any way. They just have to sit there and take
it. We did one of those, not at HeadGum, but at College Humor. I was roasted once for a live show. And it was like everybody one by one making fun of me. And then at the end, the person, so I went up and I made fun of everybody else.
Did you tell a lot of jokes or did you kind of have like a diatribe against everybody because you didn't understand that like it is all in good fun?
I knew that it was all in good fun and I had like planned a couple zingers, but by the end of the night I was seething with such anger because they actually I was inundated with a series of low blows that like by the time I went up there I was on the verge of tears being like, fuck you, fuck you, how could you do this to me? This is so fucked up. This isn't fun. But like everybody thought I was kidding, but like I was red in the face and crying, and they just thought I was like a super method actor or something like that. So like applause, laughter, and like it was like probably the best set I've ever had. But I don't remember any of it because I was like blinded with such hate and vitriol that by the time I had emerged from my brownout, it was a full on standing ovation. And I had come to, I fainted at the end of it.
What was the worst thing someone said? Like, how bad did it really get that you got so angry?
Somebody said my glasses were constantly like a little smudged or something like that. Or the shoes that I wore weren't necessarily cool to have or like stuff like that.
One of the roasts was the shoes that you own aren't necessarily cool to have. That was what they
said. Yeah, because they were like, mostly it's fine. And I do really like those shoes personally. I just know if you polled 100 people, maybe like a few of them wouldn't necessarily like the ones you have on currently. And the rest of them are unanimous grand slamming.
So that's pretty positive, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it was the setting of it that made me feel like mad to hear everything about that.
Yeah, and like, I guess like take some time to reflect what they actually said and maybe it'll mostly be good things and then maybe some of your anger will dissipate.
I think I came at it from like I was like at an insecure place in my life. So like it was sort of like a powder keg and even the slightest spark set me off.
Why were you at an insecure place? What else was going on?
I had just been dealt a shit hand at life up until that point. And so I felt like as a struggling comedian living in New York City without a dollar to my name.
You were salaried. Yeah. You were salaried at a comedy website that everybody else wanted to work at.
Yeah, but I wanted to work at two websites.
What was the other one?
E-Bombs World.
All right. So we have Ham for Ham. We have HeadGum. That's what you guys are most proud of.
What are you most proud of?
And this is for the longest time. This is up until recently. I didn't know what to say and when. Like, nothing was scripted. And so I was kind of off the cuff. Like, most people go about their day and they know exactly what they're going to say at which point. You know, people have lunch conversations. They're relating to their coworkers. They're making connections. They're making lasting friendships. I've never had that to me. I've never known what to say. I've just always kind of just said whatever comes to mind. Like right now, I'm even just saying whatever comes to my mind versus you guys are reading from a script.
No, we're not. And it's obvious you're waxing. Focus.
So how recently would you say this is?
You were listening to that answer?
Yeah, because I have some questions to follow up with.
It was up until probably the middle of like April.
Okay,
it just clicked. It was like, oh, you're not experiencing like a lot of like push back on the things you say, the negative reactions, because it's what you're saying that's bothering people. It's that they everybody else kind of gets it perfect because they're scripting their conversations. So every night I would kind of write down what I would say the next day.
Also, how many levels of improv did you take from UCB?
I took 7 levels.
Okay, so there's 4. It goes up to 401.
And then I've taken three classes. Yeah, I took an advanced study and then I've taken 2 academy level classes.
So a solid amount of money you spent to learn how to think off the cuff, or not think, rather, based on the motto of the theater.
Right, but that was back when I didn't know what other people were doing, Brownlee. Like, that was when I was like, okay, if it's off the cuff, I gotta figure out how to hone in on it, you know? But now that I'm seeing everyone else has, like breakfast, between when you wake up and breakfast, that's act one. Between breakfast and lunch, that's act two.
Blink. You're not blinking. Relax a little.
And then between lunch and dinner,
yeah.
That's act
three. Take a fucking deep breath. Blink.
And dinner,
stop attacking
to falling asleep
people.
Is the tag.
I haven't heard a single thing you said. I'm just
the cold open
I'm just reading your face.
Position where you wake up and you're like, I can
madder.
Do another 10 minutes. I can do another 10 minutes of sleep before
you
I get
to
work.
Take a break. We need
late.
To take a break. There's no way this is productive. Thank God you're in a different state. You're attacking us.
I open this door. That door opens behind you. What'd you say?
Oh, my God. You moved 2,000 miles in a second.
That's the saxophone point. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, my social battery is starting to come back, I have to say, because, you know, we're all less social in the winter habitually, and I feel like I've sort of charged up for a summer of filling my cup.
But it can be easy to ignore our social battery altogether and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter, like I said. What's the right amount of socialization for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm in therapy every week. It definitely helps me rearrange my priorities so that I can prioritize my social battery and making sure I have that time to recharge, which I need. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/whatsthat today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatsthat. Thanks, BetterHelp.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
All right. So what do you guys think is going to be, like, people keep saying it's never going to be the same. You know what I mean? After COVID. So what do you think will permanently change? And what do you think will go back to normal?
It's so sad.
How is that sad?
Because I think about it all day, and then now I have to think about it during this time that's like a reprieve.
All right, then let's fucking just get through it fast, then.
I mean, I think a lot's going to, I think most things are going to change.
Then we agree. Then we agree. I'm just saying, let's think about this shit. Let's fucking talk it through.
Yeah, that's what I was starting to do, and then you were like, we agree, we agree. So
I'm just so fucking, and this is, might be new information for you, Amir, but I'm like so fucking terrified of confrontation that I'll just agree on a whim.
Information.
I was talking to my roommate about spas today, and we were like, oh, never going to go to a spa again, I guess. Not that I ever went to spas in the first place, but.
I mean, post-vaccine, I feel like you'll be able to go to a spa. But yeah, you can believe whatever conspiracy theory you're reading and whatever MSNBC is fucking handing to you on a silver platter. Some of us work for our news. I steal my neighbor's cable to get Fox Business.
That's upsetting to hear.
Yeah.
I think Marika spoke for everyone.
Then we all agree. And I'll stop doing it, and I'll start watching what you guys watch, so that there's no conflict, there's no friction.
Let's do that. Yeah, the no conflict.
Yeah, I think so.
You don't have to repeat every little thing that I'm saying in attempts to convince me you're listening. You're clearly not.
Me being a soundboard, a mirror, oral or otherwise, bouncing back whatever you say at you, makes you feel like I'm listening, but then I can kind of go to a different place.
I'm so distressed by the term an oral mirror.
An oral. What
so
a hard
weird.
Thing to say.
Yeah.
Oral, you can only say it with your mouth full of bread.
At an Olive Garden. Just pounding bread sticks.
So, Marika, you think no spas, Amir?
Yeah, massages, spas, any like indoor intimate activity. Like, I can't imagine ever cramming in a phone booth with four of my friends and like passing the phone around, pranking QVC like we used to, or like going to like a movie theater. Like, what's the point when you can stay at home and watch Netflix, stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess no one's gonna get a phone book and prank call people. Like, that's not
not a phone book, a phone booth. Me and three friends.
What did I miss?
Jake with the Hamilton reference.
I said that last week and everybody fucking harpooned my
I was just
ass.
Saying that I came from a funeral
wow.
today. A close family friend
sorry for your loss.
Passed away. I was sharing yeah. a story.
I'm sorry for your loss, but you obviously shouldn't be doing a podcast at all, right?
Yeah.
Take
no,
the day off.
It was
Take
my
the
way
day.
Of,
this isn't... I shouldn't be.
This is my way of sort of just like taking a moment.
How is this your way of taking a moment?
It was like, yeah, it was like I was going to sort of clear my head and talk for a little bit. Thank you for indulging. I was actually on minute 21 of a pretty interesting oral essay that I had penned on the way to the
An the oral casket. Essay that you had penned.
Marika, 1 second. And... Yeah, we were just talking about oral mirrors, actually, if you had anything you wanted to say.
I think
about
you're,
that.
I caught the tail end of the Zoom funeral you were at. Your eulogy started, who do we miss?
It started with that and ended with the Hip Hop Harry, who's next video.
What does the fox say?
Jake, this question's specifically for you.
Okay, so thank God I showed up late.
What's the best age to be?
Wow. Wow. Did anyone already say six?
No.
No, what happened to you when you were six?
Everything.
The fuck is your problem?
I went to college.
What?
I was a Doogie Howser of myself.
You studied at college or you just went to a college? Because you did live in New Haven.
The campus of Yale.
That's right. I went to Yale as a six-year-old. I did a keg stand. At Lambda Lambda Psi, because I'm a Lambda Lambda guy.
That's not
guy.
A real fraternity.
Okay. Did anyone say nine?
No.
Because nine, I was in grad school.
How?
Okay.
What do you think grad school is?
I graduated second grade as a nine-year-old.
That's behind a 2 years.
Has everybody else already gone?
No.
We talked about it in Slack.
Best age you can be has to be 23.
That's basically
really?
What we all... said yeah. yesterday.
I think 23 is the best.
I said 22.
Why 23 though? Because you're still like a baby, basically.
I feel like 23 is old enough to give you a little more perspective, but still young enough that everything seems to be about you. So, and your body doesn't hurt yet. You're not tired or achy. That's good. That kind of kicks in when you're. When you're in your late 20s, I think.
Jeff's not even 23 yet.
You're not 23 yet?
No, God. I'm 22. But I do feel like I'm getting old.
But how's your body and the achiness?
I'm not achy. But, well, because it sucks to hear that everybody thinks 22, 23 is the best age to be. Because I'm 22, about to be 23 this fall. And I can't do anything right now.
Yeah. No, that's too bad. There's other good ages to be, though. 27, I think, is a really good age. I like 27. I mean, 25 and 26 are kind of garbage because you're having like an existential crisis the entire time. 29's fine.
Yeah.
28 is great. 30's dirty. 30 is dirty.
Meaning?
31's fun.
32?
32 is bad.
31?
32 is bad for
dirty
you.
Fun.
32 is bad for you. 33 is great for me.
Why?
Sorry, the simplest question ever and you're stumped.
I think the real answer is 23, but also 18 is pretty solid and so is 6.
Any multiple of 6 really.
Amir, what do you say? 23?
I think a little later. 23, you're sort of right out of college and it's been like a year or two and you're still sort of poor and angry. So maybe like by in your late 20s, things are a little bit more established. You know who you are a little bit more, but you still have that independence.
But I also feel like, well, now I'm going to get pretty philosophical. I feel like everyone's favorite age to be is a reflection of the time that they were alive. Like no one who's 23 right now in 10 years will be like, it was great to be 23. You know, like 23 was just a good time.
I stayed at home and I was afraid of everything.
Yeah, I think 23 was just like, I don't know what year I was 23, but I think other good stuff was happening.
Yeah, yeah. It was 2009, so like, yeah, it was like...
Obama was just elected. That was
financial
good.
Financial crisis.
Yeah. The housing crisis.
Or just like the housing
crisis. That was in 2009?
unemployment record highs.
I had a job.
But I think
but it was good
Jake
for me.
Cleaned up.
It was good for me. I
Jake
had a good
shorted.
Year.
He was a slumlord. So he scooped up a lot of subprime mortgages. They bundled them together and sold them to Jake and his daddy. And so he sort of priced people out of up and coming neighborhoods. And he was raking in cash hand over fist until 2011.
Yeah.
That's why he said at age 25 was bad.
That's right.
You made handshake deals with the tenants of the buildings you bought and then said, hey, oh, please, if you get out of here so I can renovate this and, you know, rent it to hipsters, I'll give you $20,000 cash.
Hang on one second.
But they didn't
Hang
get it in writing.
I have a full Yiddish conversation on a cell phone for 5 minutes. One second.
Yeah, sorry.
Shalom.
Wow. You know that dying language so fluently.
Marika, what's the best year of your life? Or... I guess the question is, what's the best age to be, not best year of your life? Though I'm also curious about Marika's best year of her life. So you can answer them both.
Yeah, I guess I would say I enjoyed 22.
I don't know
most.
About you, but Marika's 22. That was a good song.
Nice.
All right.
Not 22.
Anyway, furthermore.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
That's right.
Yeah. It was a good song.
Actually still is.
Yeah. I think I had been in New York for like a year at that point, so I felt pretty relatively stable. Yeah, it was just a good year, a good time. 22 is also my favorite number.
That'll
so
do it.
That association's nice. I feel like the good a good age to be maybe 31. What are your guys' thoughts as people that have gotten to that age?
31 was actually, I think I mentioned that 31 was fun. So yeah. I did. I'm trying to think. I think I got married when I was 32, but engaged when I was 31. I felt like I liked having like life goals that seemed like they should be happening to 30-year-olds happening to me in my early 30s. So it felt like,
yeah,
it felt like I wasn't fucking it up. I mean, Amir's 39 and is kind of unmarried and childless, so it's I imagine that, sorry, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like you're 30.
Well, you already did, and you're wrong about the age. You're speaking incorrectly for
all right
me, but yeah,
well, I just feel like can... I mean things aren't going well for you as well, so I was just gonna say if I know you should yeah. You should answer, but I feel like you're 31.
That's not
been...
true, but it even if you thought that, you shouldn't say that out loud.
Let's frame it in a more positive way.
I just don't even how would you
yeah, we'll let Jeff get to it because maybe he could find a way.
Getting over the hill, are you excited about the big 4-0 getting over the hill in January?
I don't know.
Loveless, childless,
I'm not even that close.
No,
I'll be in my 30s for the next few years. Yeah, I have prospects.
Well, that's time, I mean yeah. You can lie about your age. That's what people tend to do at the end of when they reach their 40s.
Not a lie, not a lie. In 2 years I'll be 39 still, so I don't know. I don't really think about being 40.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I get it. So it's like, oh, I'll be 39 forever.
No, not that's like that kind of thing. Not like that kind of thing, because I'm actually 37. Jake was wrong about the age. He was wrong about my
was
attitude.
I wrong about everything else? Because you're hung up on the age.
He said it while smiling,
said,
and you look really angry.
No, I'm not angry. I'm just like, he kind of threw me under the bus, but it's fine. We're not even talking about me. We're talking about the, what was it? Why it's good
31
to
is cool, because it's like, you, in your 30s, I feel like people accept you as an adult, but like 31 is also like the youngest super professional adult age you can be.
And I also feel like turning 30 is considered stressful for people, so you're like over that hump, you're like, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. I'm here,
let's deal with it.
And then the next stressful 30 age is to be like past 35. It's like, if sometimes I feel like when you're 20, in your 20s every age is like stressful in its own way, because there's like graduation, the job market, then 25, you have your quarter life crisis, then you're worried about being 30. Yeah. But when you're 30, you're like, I'm done worrying about being 30. The only thing I'm really worried about is being 40, and that's 10 years away, or 1 year for Blumenfeld. But like, you get the picture.
Not really 1 year, 2 years, really. Three. Now you have me fucking confused. I'm 30. I'm 37.
Bring out your birth certificate, man.
What are you talking about? It's in Hebrew. I don't even know where it is. My parents' house, maybe. You don't have to break it out. I was
birth
born in 83.
Birth certificate. Birth certificate. Birth certificate.
No.
Birth certificate. Birth certificate.
Me and Marika.
Come on, guys. Birth certificate.
The chant isn't catching on, Jeff. The cadence is weird.
Earth
it's too
certificate.
Too long a phrase.
Earth certificate. Earth certificate.
It's hard to do over Zoom to begin with, but that had no structure to it.
We should do that for charities, that we chant birth certificate for 24 hours
straight. You should do it for charity.
So it's not even...
like, so people can watch it, or...
What's the charitable aspect of it? Does it earn money somehow?
The donations, maybe.
Maybe?
Just chant for a day and see what happens.
If by chance it should last a day, then that's even better for the chance.
Nice, dude. God, don't smile like that. You're smiling and moving to the side of his microphone so we can see his teeth. We don't need to do that.
It's all braces.
I have Visalign. You know Invisalign?
Yeah.
Well, this is a visible alignment, aka metal brackets.
So braces.
That's a level above braces. No, braces are thin. Mine hold my jaw in place. And the rubber bands.
Invisible headgear.
I have a gear of my head. That's right. I have a built in a retainer, an expander, and metal brackets. I'm reconstructing my jaw. And for dinner, I'll have soup in a straw.
You're also attached to like Forrest Gump style polio leg braces.
That's right.
You're a puppet of a man.
I have an exoskeleton.
I have my orthodontist on not only speed dial, but on retainer, and he gave me a retainer. And I have to wear it at night.
Very, very good.
That's that sax point.
All right. This is a question that comes from a HeadGum sketch. One of my favorite that we've done. If you didn't have to sleep, what would you do with the extra time? What does that mean?
It signals that I'm thinking about it. That's universal.
All right.
I would take a nap. I think.
If you didn't have to sleep, you'd take
it. How long, though? Because it has to be like...
Yeah, it would be a power nap.
Power nap? How long, though? Because it can only be really...
I would take like 10 45-minute naps.
No, because that's sleep.
Did you guys ever try like... I feel like this was the thing when I was in college, trying to do like weird napping techniques instead of sleep, like the you sleep for an hour and a half or something, and then you like do some work, and then you sleep again, and then do some work.
This is insane.
Yeah,
no, I'm not busy. Okay.
Yes, you are,
Jake. So. Jeff is.
Are you kidding me?
What?
No, wait, no, he didn't.
At least, like, we'd be able to do this if you walked away from your
Zoom.
Are
you kidding me, dude?
Mute yourself.
No way, dude.
Jeff, mute yourself.
But how much is it going to... Sorry,
it's also
up.
Just like...
How much is it going
to
cost?
Unfair though? To me, I feel.
Because you asked a question.
Yeah, because you sort of indulged him with an answer.
I see.
And now he's sort of...
No, I'll just...
Trolling slash
I can front the money. I just probably need to like find a creative way to get
I'll
the
I'll answer.
Right.
I used to pull all-nighters in college, but I don't know if I ever did
should
the...
Should talk to him later.
All right, what if we did the 24-hour chant thing and then, like, I collect the money?
We already moved on.
We'll figure it out.
Then it's not charity.
We're talking about...
We haven't even figured out why people have to do it. And it's not... And now you're trying to not make it about charity.
You're asking us about our sleep pattern or something, what we would do with extra sleep. Marika said in college she would try different,
what's
like,
that
sleep
diet? What's that sleep thing called? It's like the... It's not the GOMAD diet because that's the milk thing, but there's, like, a super...
4-hour sleep schedule, like 4 hours on...
I thought there's...
4 hours of sleep twice a day or
there's
something.
There's, like, a superhero some kind of thing. Dave Rosenberg used to do it.
So you know it's good.
Doesn't seem like it would be good. It seems like you would just be tired all the time.
Right. You take like 10-minute naps 24 times throughout the day or something like that.
Right.
I think the idea is that you're never getting a full night's sleep. Your body only needs these like 20-minute power naps. But yeah.
Marika, sorry. I'm so sorry that my friend interrupted you.
You interrupted.
Right.
It wasn't your friend.
Your friend.
Okay, I took the call, but that was just because I thought that I was on mute.
You weren't, and we were yelling at you to mute yourself, and you kind of ignored it.
By the way, it'd be rude to take the call and mute yourself, which is the slightly less rude thing that you didn't do. But like that would still be, if you had muted yourself and taken a call, it would have still been inappropriate. There wasn't like don't make that face if you can.
How do you feel bad?
No, I'm listening.
How do you feel right now that we're all scolding you?
I feel conflicted because it was a really good call.
Nobody's on your side.
But I also want to hear Marika's story.
It was a minute long. How is it a really good call? Like, what did you accomplish?
What happened on it?
It's a perfect call. So my buddy George Sava called and he said, "Hey, let's get this bread." And then I started cracking up because it was so funny to me.
He said, "Get this bread."
He said, "Let's get this bread." And then I was like, "Okay, I'll front the cash for that bread." And then he was like, no, I mean, like, let's go get this money. And then I, like, kind of cut him off because I wanted to hear.
So you cut okay. Saba off, too?
Yeah, you know what? Should I call him back?
Small thing. It doesn't sound like a perfect call if you guys misunderstood each other, then you have to cut him off.
Yeah.
But you were rude to Saba and Marika, which is kind of sad.
I'm sorry, Marika.
That's okay.
Jeff, I want you to slap yourself, like, as hard as you can. Like, sort of lift up your right palm and have it face your cheek and really just, like... Let's see
this
that.
This is insane. No way. Yeah. I can, this is like, because then it's not.
Try
even
to do
like
it as hard as you can, and I'll see if you can go harder. All right, start with one that's as hard as you think. That's not even close to what I want. I want like a fat like.
Well, I knew you were gonna ramp it up no matter what, so I kind of started.
This
light.
Is. I was anti Jeff, but try to like. This is starting.
Like scratch your
this
eye
is bordering on super inappropriate. Blumenfeld, you gotta
feel free to like sort of slip and like you know scratch your eyelid or something.
I wouldn't
bad
do that.
This is beyond fucked. But I feel like I have to.
Agreed. No, you don't.
You really don't.
Marika,
I never approved it.
Marika, blink 9 times if you don't want this to happen. All right.
Wow, that was the fastest I've ever seen anyone blink.
Hit me
and
fucking square.
And slap themselves at the same time.
Contacts out, and I made contact.
I straight up wish I couldn't watch both of those things happening, but Jeff hit himself really hard in the face, and Marika blinked faster than I've ever seen anybody blink before. How did you do it that far?
Your eyelids were all
over,
but you didn't
my
give it a chance.
But also counting. Because I had to hit 9, but he did it too soon.
He did it. You were on like, you were on 7, and he fucking slapped himself.
That's really fucked up, Marika. He did that because of you.
Yeah, I napped in college. I did.
That's that sax point.
Well, we have to finish up soon, but I would. What's the update on the search for the LA office?
It's still kind of dangerous with the numbers so high to have people working in a room together. You know,
right,
you hear these horror stories
the
about like. Right. So let me finish. So in terms of the search, we're not necessarily in any rush to get to a place where a bunch of employees are working together out of the same space, especially because everyone's doing so well remotely. We want to like take things slowly and as safely as possible.
That said, I saw some of the listings you sent through, and my God, are they cherry. I mean, Frogtown being so close to wax
even
paper,
if they're empty for a year, like that might be worth it.
I mean, the New York office is open.
It's actually not. I work there because no one else does, but... It's an empty office. Sorry to burst your bubble, but you must have known that because you're on Zoom calls with everyone and we're all at our houses. So
no,
you couldn't
no,
have...
you're right. You're completely right. It's just, it's more like, sounds stupid now that I say it out loud.
Probably will.
I was hoping you guys would kind of get the LA office sooner rather than later, just because I did get evicted. And so I was thinking maybe like without you guys knowing, like against your knowledge, I kind of crashed there for a while. And so, yeah, I would be the only one over there, kind of like you are in New York, but I would just kind of get a free place to live. You know,
it's
what I mean?
Weird to know that you shouldn't say something and then confide it that deeply to, I mean, two of your bosses. You know,
okay, right? It was a joke then.
Oh, all right.
Not that funny though. It's kind of plausible. It's not that funny. It's kind of plausible.
Were you joking or not?
It was a joking. It was a joke. Yeah, it was a friggin' kid.
You so can't, not... like, coach reactions to a joke by, like, asking people to dial it back
right.
when they laugh.
Marika, let's take that one again. Let's maybe you kind of are laughing at what I just said,
right.
and then it's kind of
so...
funny and everybody. Because there's tension now. You feel this tension? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that you caused.
Yeah.
All right. Marika, tell Jake about everything is wine.
I don't want to.
That way the listeners hear it twice, but Jake only has to hear it once.
I'm super curious.
Since I already was there for the first time, I think I'm going to
no fucking
take
way.
This chance. Because
it always ends this way. It always
yeah.
ends this way.
He's
gone. Amir's
fully
left.
Wow. All right, so Amir's gone. Before, Marika, do you want to tell me about everything is wine?
Yeah, a pop punk band I listen to sells wine now, and that's their wine brand. That's about it.
What's that? That actually sounds...
Well, tell them the band name.
All Time Low. Yeah. He left. That made him leave.
He fucking left.
Yeah.
For that.
And I think that's fair of him.
Really?
This has been great.
Really? You really mean that, though? Because that actually means... I actually really fucking needed to hear that, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
For you to say something like that to me, it just kind of, like, validates everything I said this hour. And it kind of makes me want to go even harder next week in terms of, like, sowing seeds of division, A. B, bringing up niche conversation starters. And C, kind of dominating the discourse, making sure that everything bends to my will. And because I kind of, like I was saying, I kind of script what I say. I script everything I say during the day. So everything you're hearing me say right now is scripted.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you not? Because you just jumped the line.
Yeah, I guess I...
No, you're jumping your line. You're supposed to say in three lines, you're supposed to say, you're exactly right, Joe.
Okay. In three lines, so does that mean you keep talking?
You're jumping the line. You keep jumping the line.
Okay. I mean, I guess, you know, end of a podcast, follow me on Twitter. At Marika Elan, and I'm gonna go.
Well, don't go, because I needed you to say this. Yeah. What I need you to say to finish the whole episode is, like, this has been the HeadGum Podcast. Feel free to subscribe to other HeadGum shows, review, newcomers, and she's gone. She left for that. Are you fucking kidding me? She didn't say the... Am I in the wrong here? I really can't help but feel like I'm the only one who's not in the wrong. Fuck. All right, follow HeadGum on Instagram at HeadGum, Twitter at HeadGum. Listen to the review podcast on HeadGum, the If I Were You podcast on HeadGum, Buckets, Nad Pod, Newcomers, Why Won't You Date Me? There's something in it for everyone. We'll catch you next week on the HeadGum podcast. Enjoy your weekend, and remember...
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.